Good evening.
Good evening.
And how are you wonderful people tonight?
Wonderful.
I would like to say that this class, you know, I'm very proud of it, but it is your class, not my class. So if you have any comments or you want me to talk about one particular thing, I will do that. Also, if you don't like the format, somebody commented, we won't mention Al's name, that the format had changed so, because I used to not start with good news. The reason why I start with good news, to tell you something good, because there is very little good news that we're hearing from the world today. There is tons of good news going on, but it's not being reported. But the good news that I always want to tell you is that this thing that we call God not only exists, it exists in, as, and through you, and that you can use that to bring whatever you want into your life. You can use that to make a better life for yourself. You can use that to start feeling really great about yourself, so that all these negative thoughts and so forth that you have about yourself can be wiped from your mind. You are not here to have that type of thinking. The human body was not made to have negative thoughts running through it. When you have negative thoughts about yourself, other people, the world itself, whatever, it does bodily harm to you. And it will always do bodily harm to you. And if you will remember the last time that you had a negative thought, try to figure out how you felt inside of your body. Did it make you feel good? Did you get a headache? Did you get a stomach ache? Did you get a pain of any type? Thinking negative thoughts. You know, you can run a car on kerosene, but it will not run very efficiently. And you can run your life on negative thoughts, but it will not run very efficiently.
Dallas, can I say something?
Yes.
When you started, what I told you before is I've been coming to Dallas's class since his first class. And what I heard every week, and I don't hear it as much, and maybe he's saying it, that we are all lovable, worthy, and deserving. Now, I'm 81 years old now, and finally, a couple of years ago, I learned that I really am, and that's what has really helped me from this class, because I never felt worthy, I never felt lovable, and I never felt deserving. And just by finally accepting that fact and learning it, it has changed my life. Because I don't have to feel sorry for anything. If anyone does anything for me, like treating me to dinner, thank you very much. It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And it's really, so I did want to share that, because I said to Dallas, I don't seem to hear that from you as much. And it was always a big part of the class. And so, to me, I quote it all the time. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. And I try to tell you that every week. So if I fail to tell you that, we will catch up and we will tell you that. That the three main things in life, you have to know that you're worthy, you have to know that you're deserving, and you have to know that you're totally lovable. They are the three biggies in life. And the reason that most people are not getting what they want from life, a loving relationship, money, abundance and prosperity, creative self-expression, and health, which are the four corners of your life, is because either all three or one or two of these ingredients are missing. from your thinking, from your consciousness, from your belief system. And you have to know that. And that's why I started with the good news, to tell you how wonderful you are and to tell you how much this universe loves you. And it would be absolutely incomplete without you. That you absolutely matter. That you matter. So many people feel, my life does not matter. I do not matter. You do matter. And you have to know that you matter. These are the things that you have to do. And you have to do that by telling yourself that constantly till it sinks in at a very deep level. At a very deep level. What did you say earlier tonight that finally sunk in that you heard?
That God cannot do anything for me unless it's through me.
Yes. Now, he finally got that message, and that is absolutely true. So these are the good news things. And you cannot do much with your life until you realize that you are one with God, that all you are is God, but you are not all that God is. And we have not been taught that. We have been taught that this power, this thing called God, is somewhere else and always looking down on you. And the world will tell you that. Most religions, brand name religions, will tell you that. And of course, Bette Midler will tell you that.
From a distance.
From a distance. And we hear those things and we start to believe that. You have to know that God is right here and right now, and God is operating through you, as you, in you. This is what will change your life. It's the connection. It's the unity. And I teach unity. I do not teach separation of any type.
Say something concerning connection. It ends up with my getting here, but it starts with a documentary I saw the other day about neurons and the brain and the nervous system is collected of what seem to be separate nerves, but they're connected by relationship and they're connected by the way in which they affect each other. And it's electrical impulses that they're sharing that are set off by potassium and other chemicals, but that it's a network, it's a web thing. Each nerve cell is an individual cell, but it's part of a web and a network. So I'm on the road here trying to come in, and I had been absorbed in writing some music and happily involved in what I was doing, and I lost track of time, so I was a little late getting here. And I'm coming down the freeway, and it just jams up, and I started to go, oh, shit, I'm late. And I went, you know, I'm not the only one who wants to get there. I just went, let's give a free ride to everybody. And I sent out that little electronic energy stuff, and I chose to envision that every other driver was like a neuron, and I sent the message all the way up to the head of the highway, and things just started clearing up.
The other week I announced that God is a neuropeptide. And God is a neuropeptide. Because God is everything. And we do have all this going on up there. Because our body is a chemical factory. And we can manufacture every chemical known to man by using our mind. That goes for morphine and opium, marijuana, whatever you wish. Our body is capable of doing that. These are the powers. that you must know that you have and that you can use these powers. So the good news is that, yes, you are one with God, and God is always with you, always working through you, and will continue to do so. But you must open yourself to that idea, and you must be able to feel that in your life, that you are connected to something much bigger than you are, and that that big thing, call it God, the universe, or Harry, it doesn't matter, always wants to help you, always wants you to succeed in life. That is what we are here for, to succeed on this plane of action. So when I have been starting with the idea that there's good news, I want to do that so that I can constantly instill in you not only how wonderful you are, not only how powerful you are, but you are totally loved, totally taken care of, and that you can use all that in your life. And that is the good news. You're not stranded out here. You're not stranded out here. This thing we call God doesn't do that. At any place you are put, all the stuff that you need is available to you. And you take any part, any point on this world where there's life, whatever needs to be there to support that life is there to support that life. At the very bottom of the ocean, in Antarctica, it doesn't matter. If life appears, everything has to be there to support that life. So if you're here, you have to know that everything is here to support you. Everything is here to support you. That's the good news. So you can take that one step further and know if you have an idea, everything is there, not only to support that idea, but to make that idea manifest. You see, what works on one level has to work on all levels. What works on one level has to work on all levels. That's why one of the master teachers said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions.
I just have a piece to really share because I feel like sometimes coincidences happen and you're just like, they're so trippy in the minute that you just kind of go, forget it. It was like cool and then you just forget it. Well, I've been playing around with the whole idea of being a scientist with this stuff. Like, you know, sit down and do experiments, you know. And you're saying whatever you ask for, it's on its way to you. And so, you know, I'm like, you know what? I know this stuff is true. There's this feeling I have about it. So, this experiment. So today I had some free time. It was really hot. So I decided I was going to, I know there's some people in India who are manifesting things in their hand, like little small objects and whatnot. And so I said, you know what, I'm going to, you know, try it. So I sat there and I said, well, okay, I'm going to manifest $500, see if it comes. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, I know that it could happen, you know. And then I said, well, let me just start smaller, you know, a little more. You know, just kind of slide into it. So I said $100, you know. So I'm sitting there, you know, just kind of, you know, waiting for this $100 to pop in my hand. And I kind of dozed off, probably for like 15 minutes. And the buzzer rang at my door. And I live like on the third floor, quiet street. No one hardly comes over. But so I was going to just let it, you know, buzz and just take my nap. And I said, no, get up. That might be your money, you know? So I get up. I get up, and I'm like, push the door, and I'm like, who's there? You know, it's the mailman. And he's like, oh, it's the mailman. There's delivery, you know, for you. You have to sign for it. So I go, oh, okay. So I rush downstairs. Turns out I'm signing for this envelope that a client owed me some money from a long time ago. And it was a money order for $105. So within 15 minutes, I had $100 in my hand. And I was just like, I went back to that spot and I had the $100, you know. So it's just interesting. So I did.
I'm mad you dropped the $500 idea.
Well, I dropped the $500 idea earlier because I said, let me start a little smaller. Just because I remember Dallas saying sometimes start gradual, you know. So I did like a $100 thing. So trust me, I went back to the $500. Then I found another $100. So, you know, would that you, I forgot I had, you know, like that. So.
Would you also tell them the story of the two salons?
Okay. I was at a salon for 13 years that I just couldn't be at anymore. But I've since bought property. I've done these things, and it's been very hard for me to leave that salon because of how it's financially set up. And finally, I just can't take it anymore, and I went to a session with Dallas, and, you know, I had an idea that I'm just going to go ahead and be in that salon, pay the rent, and be in another salon and pay the rent. And just taking it day by day, week by week, not knowing what's going to happen. And I've been doing that for the last month. Not only have I paid both rents, I saved an extra $2,000. And I opened up these little savings accounts. And so, you know, I added all that up. And, you know, so now it just seems like, yeah, you know. But so that's still a story that I'm, because like, the next 2 months were really. But so, anyway.
Because she was living in fear that she couldn't do both and couldn't have both financially. And if you don't.
Serious fear.
Serious. And I said, do it, and the money will come. Money is never the issue. Money is never the issue. She did it, and the money came. For new people, this class is called Prosperity and Abundance, Including Money. And every once in a while, I veer off in other directions. But it's always going to come back to abundance, prosperity, and money. Because those are big issues in people's life. Money is a biggie. And you have to grasp money and have a money consciousness in this world. Money affects every relationship you have. And it will reflect your number one relationship with somebody else. Money always affects relationships. And it also reflects the relationship that you have with yourself. And if you don't have the money that you think you should have, the money you want, need, or whatever, sit down. I should lock up that door. You should sit down and see why that money is not coming to you. And it will be because you don't think you're worthy, deserving, and lovable. Money will come to you the more you love yourself. I've told you that in almost every class. And everyone who came to this class and started to love themselves more and more money came to them, more things came to them, more abundance and prosperity. It's done with love of self. Okay. So that's the good news, that you have this wonderful power. And it works in, as, and through you. And you work in, as, and through it. But you are a creator. And you're always creating. And you have to decide what you're creating and how you're going to create that. How many times have I said ways and means, fun and entertainment? Let God do what God knows how to do. Question?
No, I have something to say. I was, what this class has brought to me more than anything is an openness to be able to hear the same thing in every, from different people about opening yourself up. I went to this presentation. A woman I know, she is in this cosmetic, she sells this cosmetic line, but it's like multi-level. And she received her Mercedes because she got to a certain level with convertible Mercedes. And so there was a presentation there. And for whatever reason, she was thanking God and being, you know, God has, you know, led her down this path. And the people I were with were like, oh, my God. What are we doing here? You know, and I'm thinking, okay, I need to be present in any way I can be because I'm here and I'm not going to waste my time. So there's a speaker that came up and he wrote a book called The Angel Within. And basically what it was about, honoring yourself and finding out of everything, out of your mold, where your self-love is and it's in you and it can be everything. Anything you want it to be, you can do anything you want. And it's the basic take-home message that I hear from you that I can get out of him. Unfortunately, everybody else couldn't receive it that way. All they could hear is God being shoved down their throat. And I was thinking, you know what? Unfortunately, they didn't say, you can do anything you want to do. You don't have to sell this cosmetic line or be in this program. But I'm here to tell you that if you find... If you love yourself and you feel worthy and you, because that's what I heard, and I was like, I heard that even though it had a God religious base, I'm like, I can hear that, and that's what it did for me. And then the next day I opened this package for my sister and there's this angel and it said, because I love you and you're an angel and something like, you know. And you're blessed. And it was just, it's a really pretty thing. And I'm thinking, before I would have been less receptive to that. And that's what's helping me, is just being able to be open to those things that normally you would don't spout your... there's something you can learn.
Yes.
And that's what you've done for me, is that I'm open to receiving the good things. They don't always have to come in the right way, but I can get something out of it. And that's incredible. You're incredible. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
And so are you.
The idea is to learn to love yourself more and more and more. And if there's anyone here who is not comfortable with that, you must learn to love yourself, not punish yourself, not think there's something wrong with you. We were taught not to love ourselves. The world doesn't want you to love yourself. So why would you know how to do that? You have to now learn that on your own. You just have to learn that on your own. Many people think, oh, well, that will happen when somebody else loves me. No, it won't. Or, as soon as my parents decide that they love me and approve of me, then that will happen. It won't. You have to do it for yourself. And that's the freedom, when you realize that you have to do it for yourself. That no one's going to do it for you. You have to do it. And you do it by sitting and knowing that and learning to feel the presence of God everywhere. I know sometimes that sounds hokey, but it's not hokey. You can learn to feel that, and you can learn to feel the energy around things. You can learn so many things. So, back. It's your class. I will change the format any time. I will do what you people want. It is not my class. I am here to give something to you. And if you ask me, I will give it. Meantime, I will come up with all these other little things for you to learn. That's all they are. So the format has changed, but it can go back to anything you want.
You recently took a course in healing.
Yes.
And there are techniques for healing.
Yes.
Are there techniques that, like little drills that we can learn, that we can practice and do, that develop our manifesting skills?
Yes.
All right.
You can manifest anything in your life, but it has to start with your belief. Katrina was able to do $100, but now that she's able to do $100, she can move up. You have to start somewhere. And sometimes we have to start with a small thing till we build our faith, till we build our belief system. We have to do that for ourselves. And we have to keep doing that till we actually believe that. And then things happen, and we just keep doing it. How do you get to Carnegie Hall?
Practice.
Just practice, practice.
That's how you get there. You have to practice this. You have to use this teaching. You're using it. You use it for the traffic. People love to use it for the traffic. Use it for other things in your life. You know?
Yeah.
How many people here say, oh, I got a parking space. Well, it's over. I know it. You know, if you can do a parking space, if you can clear traffic, if you, well, slow down time, but we'll get into that some other time. If you can do that, you can do anything.
Win the lotto?
You cannot win the lotto.
Nuts.
Let's stop at dinner.
The lotto. Let's get this clear on this. The lotto is in the world, and the world is in the law of averages. We are not in the law of averages. We are in the law of cause and effect, which is a higher consciousness. If you want to live in the world, you're going to live in the law of averages, meaning 3 out of 4 people get cancer, 7 out of this do that, 10 out of this do this, 3 out of this, your car gets broken into every 3 minutes. This happens over here, that happens over here. This guy, yeah, that, ooh, ooh. That's the law of averages. And most people out there live in the law of averages. Don't live in the law of averages, you know. You know, actuaries make a great deal of money because they can predict all that stuff, but it's still just a prediction, people. It has nothing to do with anything. You have to move up to the law of cause and effect, meaning that you are the cause unto your own experience, that you are causing something. So if you want the money that the lotto has, you treat for the prosperity and the abundance to get that. You treat for divine ideas, abundant ideas to come to you, creative ideas to come to you. Then when you receive one of the creative ideas, you go to work on that creative idea, knowing that all the stuff is there for you, that it will all fall together. And it will take flesh and dwell among you. You see? thoughts are manifestations without form. You must take a thought and bring it into form. That's what this teaching is about. That's what metaphysics means. You're taking something that's unseen and you're making it seen. You see? The Bible says, all things seen come from things that are not seen. And all things come from things that are not seen. So when you have a thought, if you wish to bring that thought to form, you do the necessary work to bring that into form. Everyone here has thoughts constantly. And you can, I don't know what's going on. And you can pick and choose which thoughts you want to bring into your reality. That's all that is. That's how easy this teaching is. Thoughts become things. So thoughts are things. And thoughts must come into form if you want them to come into form. You thought of $100. You've got a little bit more. Isn't that wonderful? More? Mm-hmm. So you have to use your thinking. And you have to use your heart and your belief. It's warmth of feelings that you need along with your thinking. Warmth of feelings, meaning that you must put emotion behind what you want. You must use your emotions. Because emotion means motion, in motion, emotion. You have to do something. This teaching is an active teaching, not a passive teaching. If this were a passive teaching, we could all just sit here and go om all the time. That's passive. This is an active teaching. You must do something. Okay? So that's the good news. All right. Let's start as we always do, with spiritual mind treatment. For the new people, when I use spiritual mind treatment, it's just a form of prayer. We are taking time out to know what the universe already knows about us. We are just affirming or reaffirming what this thing we call God knows about us. I will do this in the first person. And all those who are willing may take it for themselves in the first person. And this is what I know, believe, and accept for myself. I am absolutely one with the only power there is in the universe, and that power is a power for good. And I call that power God. And I know that I live, move, and have my being in this power. And because I do that, I can use this power to bring anything that I wish into my life. And right here and right now, I use that power to expand my consciousness, to be able to accept more and more abundance, more and more prosperity, and certainly more and more money. Divine ideas come to me. Divine ideas come to me to meet all my needs and to supply me with everything that I need. They come right here and right now. And I let that be so. And so it is. Treatment work, prayer, is necessary on a daily basis to be able to manifest things. The main thing in manifesting or doing anything is a sincere heart. How sincere are you about what you want? How sincere is your heart? When you can get that sincerity going through you, you'll be able to manifest anything. Sincerity also builds self-confidence. You must be confident in yourself. You can't be willy-nilly with this thing we call God. You have to have confidence. When I give a spiritual mind treatment, you think I question it? Do you think I question my power? Not at all. I know that I know that I know. I never say to myself, do you think I did that right? You have to have confidence in what you're doing. And your confidence will build and build and build. When you start out, perhaps your treatment isn't all that good. Doesn't mean it doesn't work, people. But you'll get more confident in that. Your voice will be more confident. I hear many people go, oh, forget it. You have to be confident, and you have to know that you have this power. You have to know that. And that power will come through you. What's the biggest tool you have in your box? Use your imagination. See the power. See this thing. And use your imagination, not my imagination. You start to see it. You start to see it coming through you. Any way you want to do it. And it will work for you. This teaching absolutely works. And it absolutely works across the board. And we call it new thought. There's nothing new about it whatsoever. It was taught 500 years before Christ walked this earth. Jesus was a metaphysician. How do you think he healed people? By saying, well, let me check. I think maybe I could do that. He said, you're healed. Get up. Walk. Stop that sniveling. That's what how you do it. You don't sit around on the pity pot. Sure. Yeah. But people want it because the world tells you. Let's snivel a while. Let's do this a while, you know. You know. Always it is. Pick up your bed and walk. What does that mean, pick up your bed and walk? It means pick up all that stuff, all that garbage, all that stuff you think you're carrying, all those issues and everything else, and get the hell up and walk. Do it anyway. Don't lay down there on that bed. Get up and walk. And as soon as you do, this power rushes right in. It's gone. The stuff is gone. The stuff is gone. Tonight's topic is titled Naysayers. And I think I've told you before how I come up with these different titles. I listen, I hear things, I do this. Sometimes I get up in the middle of the night and I have 3x5 cards at my desk and I write down this stuff without turning on a light. Then I get up in the morning and wonder what I've written. But I can usually figure this stuff out. But this naysayer came to me last month sometime, and I've been working on it. After I get that idea, after I get a title, then I let that percolate inside of me, and I see different things that are going on that I can start putting, tacking a talk onto. And for this particular one, it has taken many different avenues, and it has gone many different places. So it finally dawned on me. We like to think of naysayers as the doomers and gloomers out there in the world. That this is going to happen, that is going to happen. The latest one is, oh, we're going into World War III. That's a naysayer. That's a doomer and gloomer. We have to stay away from those. But what happened in this morphing that these talks do with inside of me is I finally discovered what is the biggest naysayer and who is the biggest naysayer. And it is ourselves. It is our own mind doing it to us every time. It is our mind always telling us we can't do something, that can't be accomplished, that that's too big of a task. And that's the main naysayer in our lives, in my life, and I'm sure in each and every one of yours. You have to listen to that mind of yours, and you have to tell it to shut up. You have to tell it to shut up. It has never been your friend, it will never be your friend, and it has never brought you any good news. So why do you insist on listening to it? Don't listen to it. Every Sunday morning, I listen to From the Top. It's a classical program for young musicians. And this Sunday, they were interviewing a young violinist, and they asked her what she really wanted to do, and she said, I want to be an actor. The commentator, who I've usually liked, said, oh, you've picked an awful profession to go into. The competition there is awful. This is wrong, that's wrong, you'll never make a living of it. Why would you do that to anybody? And why would he, on a program like that, tell a young person who's very talented that she can't do something, or she's getting in to a profession where there's a lot of competition? That, again, is in the law of averages. That is in the outside world. There is only creativity in the mind of God, people. Only creativity. There is no competition in the mind of God. So you cannot listen to that type of thing. And if that's going on in here, if that's a naysayer inside of your mind, you have to stop doing that to yourselves. You have to. And as soon as it starts, don't even entertain it. Don't go down that road. Don't go down that road. But we like to say, oh yeah, oh, I'll go down there, it'll change this time. I'm telling you, it won't change. It'll hit you every time. You cannot do that. So the biggest naysayer always is our own selves. We are the ones who are telling us that we can't do something, or that we can't have something. And you have to get rid of that in your mind. Can you see how happy you would be and how wonderful things would be for you if the mind would stop that? Well, the mind can stop that. Now, surely every one of you have been here long enough now to realize that you're not your mind. Is there anyone here who still thinks of their mind? You're not your mind. Your mind is yours. You can use your mind. And you can tell your mind what you want to think. What to think and what not to think. You have to discipline the mind. If you had a child and you didn't discipline it, wouldn't it run all over the house? Knock things over, destroy things and all? Well, that's what your mind does to you. And you don't bother ever to correct it. Because you think, oh, well, that's the way my mind works. It's not the way your mind works. For years I thought I had a faulty mind. I thought surely when they were giving out minds, they gave me a bad one. Yes. You know, I was on the assembly line, somebody says, oh, give him that one. You can't do that to yourself. We're the ones that are making up our mind. We're the ones that are telling our minds what to think. But we get so close to that, and we've done that for so long, the mind starts to have a life of its own. And it starts to tell you, this is who you are. That's what we call the ego part of the mind. And it thinks it has a life of its own. Your ego has no life of its own. Your mind has no life of its own. And you can teach your mind to think the thoughts that you want to think and to feel the feelings that you want to feel. So that anytime anything presents itself, you can immediately pull up in your mind, ha-ha, I'm worthy, deserving, and lovable. This cannot be happening to me. I don't believe a word of this. It's your mind that's doing it, remember. Your mind is doing everything to you. It's creating your life, your career, your money, and every situation that you're in. Nothing on the outside of life has any power over you whatsoever. None of the circumstances that you think you're in has any power over you whatsoever. They're merely circumstances. And as soon as you realize that this is a circumstance, and I have a wonderful friend, and I have a power that I can use to solve this, it immediately is solved. But the world tells you, oh, well, you have to put up with that. Or it becomes one of your pet issues. But you're causing it. You're always going to be the cause under your own experience. And when you realize that, you will find freedom. When I say that, you are the cause under your own experience, what that means is this. You are the one that determines how you're going to feel in any situation. It's not the situation that is causing the feeling. Feelings and experiences are not connected. An experience does not create a belief. A belief creates an experience. But you will hear constantly people saying, well, I feel that way because, you know, I was bitten by a dog when I was 3. The experience did not cause that. always belief. It's always your mind. And you always have a choice. But we have been sold a bill of goods. And it looked very good for a long time. This is the way people behave. This is the way people think. This is the way people feel. And in any given situation, you press A and B will happen. And you press this, this will happen. If you press my button here, I will get angry. If you press this, I'll be happy. If you do this, da 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 da. Because an organization out there, an institution out there, wanted to be able to say, I know how people think, and I know what the mind does. So they came up with a beautiful, elaborate theory. And we all bought that theory. We all bought that theory. Stop buying that theory. It's worn out. And it's not getting you where you want to go. Think for yourself. Say, how do I want to feel in this situation? Not saying, well, I felt this way the last time this happened. Otherwise, what are you doing? You're just living your life over and over and over and over again. You know, it's like the man who says, I have 40 years of experience. He had 1 year of experience repeated 39 times.
I want to pause on that. Belief creates the experience.
Belief always creates experience. Experience does not
create the belief. Right. So is experience a standalone moment in time? You can choose what you believe from any particular experience.
But you,
the belief
must come first.
If you have an experience,
yes,
and then you come away from it and you say, well, this happened to me, so then this is now what, yes, how things work. That is not true. It's, if I believe I'm lovable and someone is not lovable to me, and I believe I'm lovable, then that experience, the unlovable action, has nothing to do with my belief. No. Wait, I almost have this.
Almost. A little backwards.
Close, but no cigar.
All right, let me see if I can do it this way. It always has to start with the belief. If you believe that you're not lovable, then the experience that you're going to always have is not lovable. If you believe you're lovable, the experience that you're going to have is always going to be lovable. Because belief creates experience. Experience does not create belief. But people have the experience that they meet somebody that they're not, that they do not associate that correctly, and they say, see, that experience, they were mean, hateful, and unlovable to me. They caused that. No, you caused it with your belief system.
Even if there's an experience that seems...
Even if there's an experience, it's across the board.
That you've never had before, and it creates a belief, stop.
It does not create a belief. You cannot have an experience without having the belief. You just don't know that you have the belief. Now, that is it. And you have to accept that and stop letting your mind try to talk you out of that. You understand?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Don't make him cross the room.
I have to say real quick. I have been in back pain and knee hell for, yes, ever since I accepted my new job, almost, yes, within an hour.
Yes.
And whatever, that's a whole different class. But hold on. Over the weekend, I was, it's just like been an odyssey. I'm starting my new job Wednesday. Anyway, the bottom line on this is I met someone standing in line Saturday. I could barely stand up. And he reminded me about a book I had heard about from Howard Stern 20 years ago by this Dr. Sarno. And anyway, I went on the internet, and Dr. Sarno says, and it's so, it ties into what you had said, the class and the lessons we're learning with Dallas is infusing us to interpret other moments that have nothing to do, seemingly, with this class and what we're learning, to understand unrelated moments and impose the qualities we're learning in these moments. Oh, okay. So then, I ramble. I'm really trying. Okay, wait.
Let me stop.
Dr. Sarno. You know Dr. Sarno.
Whether I know Dr. Sarno or not, I've never had him to lunch. But here I'm going to tell you why your back is bothering you and why you're in all this pain and so forth. Because you still do not love yourself, you still don't think you're worthy, and you still do not think that you deserve. You got a new job, and now your mind cannot accept that, so it has to do something to your body because you're scared out of your mind. Finally, you got what you want, but you don't think you deserve it. So the conflict is causing your back and all that pain to be present. Now that is a belief causing an experience.
And that's what Dr. Sarno said, because he said back pain is not physical. Once you read my book and accept it, that it's repressed fear and anger, it is all it is. And often 90% of the people that read my book, the pain goes away like magic.
Did you read the
book? And he said, NYU, I just bought it tonight.
You better go right home.
But I thought, it's you.
You know, people, don't do that to yourself.
Don't do that, people.
Don't do that, Peter. All right. So now you understand. Does everyone in this room know that we're not picking on Carol, that Carol is absolutely, and how far she has come?
Yes.
But can everyone understand that why her back is killing her?
Yes. Yes.
Because she cannot accept that new job yet. She doesn't think she's worthy of it.
But she's going anyway.
But she's going anyway, and that we give you credit for, and I think you're very courageous, and we have to do that. We have to continue even through the pain. Mm-hmm. The pain will go away as soon as you relax into that job and say, geez, I can do this, I can accept this, and I'm absolutely sitting in gratitude over this. Right now, you're sitting in nothing but fear. I mean, I can see fear.
And a week and a half of vacation, I've been miserable.
Perfect. She's a lot lighter.
Isn't it perfect? Because she can't even give herself that. You see, she can't even give herself that.
But I have to say...
You don't have to.
I would like to say, but there's still so much more lightness.
Yes, of course. Absolutely. She's come...
Oh, yeah.
She has come... I'm never picking on anybody. I love each and every one of you, and I want you to learn this. And she's finally learning it. But, of course, Carol's going to learn everything the hard way. You know, I'm surprised she's not in traction.
Don't give me that idea.
Read the book.
Please.
You don't have
it's belief experience.
Always belief experience.
Always belief experience. So then what's thought before the belief?
Well, thoughts create belief.
Okay.
You see, it just goes down the line. Thoughts create belief. But you have to have a belief before you can have an experience. And many people get thoughts and beliefs mixed up because how many times have you heard somebody say, I thought that would happen? And the biggest one they always know, and always only in the negative people. What goes around comes around, but what do they say?
It's always happens to me.
I knew that was going to happen. And it's always a negative. I fell down. I knew that was going to happen. That broke. I knew that was going to happen. Why can't you know that the good is going to happen? You see, you are so damn powerful, and you always can say, I knew that was going to happen, when it's a bad thing. But you cannot say to yourself, I knew that was going to happen and cause a good thing to happen.
Katrina.
Yes, good. But yes, and Katrina. But can you see how easy? If you can do this, you can do that. Just come over to this side.
Isn't it kind of true and obvious that, like, I could have an experience right now, and a whole bunch of other things can be going on in the room, but I'm having that one experience. So if that's true, that's just my mind, my singled out. So same with the world. Just a bunch of stuff going on, but we all accept one thing that's going on.
Yes.
But
you're
we don't
making
have
money
to,
in your hands.
We don't have to have that one. We
you don't have to have that. No. You're free.
Dallas? In my experience, I've noticed, I'm just saying what you're saying is so true, where as a child, you know, in a lot of ways I wasn't loved. And because that pain of recognizing that as a child hurt so much, I rather said I wasn't loved, my belief system said, because I'm unlovable, rather than feel the pain of not being loved. So I held on to that belief all my life. And what it had happened was that belief created that unlovable response.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole idea was for me to recognize that, no, I am lovable. The problem was I wasn't loved. And my mind just kind of distorted the fact.
Yes. Your mind is always going to distort the fact, especially when you're a child. It's going to distort that. So let me see if we can clear all this up. You have to know that you're always lovable, and when you can't say, well, my parents didn't love me, this didn't love me, you have to know that God loves you, and you have to move up to that. And then the next thing that you do to get rid of everything in your life, you have to say to yourself, oh, my goodness, I picked my parents, and I picked them to learn something from myself, or I picked them for them to learn something. And yes, you may have been in a hurry and picked the wrong parent. But you picked that parent. As soon as you know that, then you can leave that go. And then the next step is to say, my childhood holds no power over me whatsoever. If you allow your childhood to run your life now, what sense is there to live? Now, don't everyone rush out and do something like that.
I was just thinking of that coming up here, because it's like I always blame not having discipline on my family, like not having sat me down and worked with me to play the piano, my dad. But what I and that's why I have the same issues today, like it's so hard for me to, you know. But what I realized, it would have been just as hard then to sit down and play the piano as it is now. So I really don't have an excuse.
No.
Absolutely.
Now that's it. We have no excuses, people. Give up excuses. That's your mind. And that's a naysayer, an excuse to keep you from doing what you want, becoming what you want, having what you want, as an excuse. And the mind can come up with every damn excuse in the world. But most things, we're still blaming on our parents. Give it up. Give it up. They did the very best they knew how to do, and they did not single you out as being special. They would have done it to anybody. They would have done it to anybody. So give those ideas up.
And isn't it about changing your thinking?
It's about changing your thinking. You have to sit down and forgive those parents, and you have to start saying and seeing something nice that they did for you. And I don't care if they beat you every day, they did something nice for you. And you have to find what they did that was nice and dwell on that and not on what they didn't do. Not on what they didn't do. And that's what we do in our own life. We always are dwelling on what we don't have instead of what we do have. So start dwelling on what you have, who you are, and how absolutely wonderful you are. Because you are wonderful, and so am I. And therein's the lesson. Thank you.